as we sit now and reflect on all the carols and the Bible readings we've just heard, Lord, will you come and speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. For those who don't know me, my name's Ben Gidgey. I'm the vicar here of St. Paul's and also of St. Saviour's up the road. And we're so grateful that you can join us today to celebrate together at Christmas. Now, some of the lyrics that we sing in our carols kind of, we don't really use those words in mundane English anymore. For example, when was the last time you used the word hark in a sentence? Now, to help us discover what hark actually means, we're going to play a game of Name That Tune. And I'm going to substitute the word hark for some other words to help us think this through. And what I want you to do, you're going to work out both the name and the artist, so name the song and the artist. If you get that right, you can have one of these lovely Tony Chocolonely Fair Trade chocolates. So you can either come up and get them, or maybe I might need an assistant to distribute them because it's going to be quite hard for some people to move. So anybody want to help? Cass, you're happy to help. Brilliant. Okay. Okay, you ready? Where the tree tops glisten and children hark to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I think Andrew was up first. Yeah, go on. Go on. But yes, by who? By who? Yes, correct. Give her a chocolate. Give her a chocolate. Well done. Okay. If I stay here just a little bit longer, if I stay here, won't you hark to my heart? Go on. What is it called? Or someone else if you don't know? Rod Stewart. Yeah, and a song called? No. Who knows the title? Yeah, go on. No. Anyone know the title? I think we've got no winners there. I don't want to talk about it, is what it's called. But anyway, sorry. Go on then, over here. Yeah, go on then. Okay, right, next one up. Okay. And how you tried to set them free, they would not hark. They did not know how. Perhaps they'll hark now. Yeah. Yeah. That's not right. Okay. Marconi plays the mamba. Hark to the radio, don't you remember? Very good. And who's it by for the chocolate? Starship, yeah, over here, Starship, very good. Come on and stop. Collaborate and hark. Anyone? Yeah, when? Yeah, bye. Yeah, when he gets that one, well done. Huh? Sorry, it was Ice Ice Baby by Vanilla Ice. Okay. This one's hard. Okay. Wait. Hark to the song here in my heart. A melody I can't stop. Well done, Cass. Thank you. So, can anyone tell me what hark means?
Yes.
What does hark mean?
Listen.
Listen. Good, you got it. Now, the talk I'm going to do now is going to be based on lyrics from Hark the Herald Angels Sing, which is going to be our last carol for tonight. So you might want to have your back page of your sheets with you, because we're going to quote some of those lines. And hopefully you will listen to what I've got to say. Now, each talk is also based on a different letter from the word hark, to hopefully help you remember when you go home. And each letter will tell us something about Jesus. So H is for historical. Jesus is historical. In verse 1 of Hark the Herald, we sing, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. In our reading from Matthew chapter 2, we heard, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born the king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him. Jesus is historical. He was born in a manger, and he lived on earth. Indeed, our history is based on Jesus. We use BC and AD, before Christ. And AD, which I had to look this up, stands for Anno Domini Nostri Jesus Christ. Can anyone tell me what that means in Latin? In English, I mean? In the year of our Lord, very good. In the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus literally is in the middle of history. And in the four Gospels, in the Bible, in other parts of the New Testament, and in other historical evidence, they all say Jesus was born, that he lived, he did lots of miracles, then he died on a cross, then 3 days later he rose again and appeared to over 5,000 different people on multiple occasions, and then after 50 days ascended into heaven. When we compare Jesus to other historical people of his era, there is way more evidence that Jesus existed than any other person that ever lived. Take, for example, Julius Caesar. There's only 10 kind of remaining copies of Caesar's Gallic Wars, whereas we have over 5,000 copies of the New Testament that were written in that era. So Jesus is historical. A is for alive. Jesus is alive. In verse 2 of Hark the Herald, it says, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. And in Matthew chapter 1, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus was fully human and fully God. He was God with skin on. He was a human who fully experienced all the joys and all the difficulties from birth to death. Yet he didn't stay dead. He rose again. He appeared to many, many people. And even though he ascended into heaven, he then sent his Holy Spirit at Pentecost, so that he is still present with us now by his Holy Spirit. He is still Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is alive. R is for reconciler. Jesus is the reconciler. In verse 1 of Hark the Herald, it says, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Jesus reconciles us to God through the cross. By shedding his blood, we get forgiveness for our sin and we get friendship with God. In verse 3 of Hark the Herald, it says, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give us second birth. We can become spiritually reborn in Jesus. with his Holy Spirit living in us and enabling us to live life in all its fullness. Jesus reconciles us to God, but Jesus also reconciles us to others. In this book called The Book of Forgiving by Desmond and Umpo Tutu, they state the following. Medical and psychological studies have shown that a person holding on to anger and resentment is at an increased risk for anxiety, depression, and insomnia, and is more likely to suffer from high blood pressure, ulcers, migraines, backaches, heart attack, and even cancer. And the reverse is also true. Genuine forgiveness can transform all these ailments. When stress, anxiety, and depression are reduced, so are the accompanying physical disorders. Now, obviously, these conditions are not only caused by unforgiveness, but the stress that unforgiveness causes is real when it does affect us physically. In the Lord's Prayer that we prayed earlier today, Jesus taught us to pray, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." When we know God's forgiveness, it enables us to forgive other people. We need to ask for God's help, because trying to forgive in our own strength can be really difficult. And I do want to recommend the Book of Forgiving. It's some great kind of practical ways to work through forgiveness, especially if you're kind of stuck in a cycle of unforgiveness. Jesus reconciles us to God, and he reconciles us to others. K is for King. In every verse of Hark the Herald, we sing, "Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King." Jesus is the King of Kings, in charge of the whole universe. He created it. In Matthew chapter 2, when the Magi came to the house and they saw Jesus with Mary, they bowed down and they worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So how did they worship Jesus? Did they suddenly start singing Christmas carols? Probably not. The Greek word translated as worship here in our Bibles is a word called proskuneo, and it can denote meaning to kind of fall down, to bow, prostrate oneself, adore on one's knees, but can also mean an inward reverence and humility. So they probably didn't start singing, "Oh, come, let us adore him." But their actions and words would have communicated adoration to the baby Jesus. In the same way, our actions and our words communicate our worship to Jesus. Worship is not just about singing on Sundays or at Christmas, but it's about every day loving Jesus. Jesus is worthy of our worship and of our gifts, which includes our skills, our time, our money. I've had to sacrifice many things over the years to be a Christian, including giving up a well-paid job in the city to become a vicar, or taking time to chat to somebody maybe who's on the street, or other things. I'm not going to go on with a big list, but the point is that it's a sacrifice when we become Christians. It costs us something. Yet it also gives us the best thing we can ever have. We get hope in Jesus. We get peace in Jesus. We get life in all its fullness when we decide to follow Jesus and make him our King. What we spend our money on can often be a good indication of what we actually worship. I have many friends of mine who have season tickets at various football teams, and they're not cheap. That's who they worship. They spend their money worshipping their football team. And please don't tell me any scores. Don't want to know any scores. I'm going to watch Match of the Day later. Don't tell me. And it doesn't mean that we can't have nice things. It's nice to have nice things. It's okay to have that. But it's also good to check our budgets and see if what we're spending on reflects our worship and if we're being good stewards. If we are honest with ourselves, some of us may only worship Jesus on Sundays or even only at Christmas and Easter. But Jesus wants our worship and our gifts every day. He wants our everyday devotion. So who is number one in your life? Who wears the crown in your life? Is it you? Or is it Jesus? The main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. And the main thing is Jesus, the King. Being a Christian means taking off the crown and letting it be on Jesus' head, not ours. We need to take off our crowns and let Jesus reign in our lives. Jesus is historical. Jesus is alive. Jesus is the reconciler. And Jesus is King. Let's pray. I want us to respond with some silent prayer now and just invite you, if you'd like to close your eyes to help you concentrate. And in the quiet, feel free just to be, to listen if you wish, to see if Jesus wants to say anything to you, or maybe you want to say something to him. So we'll just have a moment. I'll start with a prayer, I'll allow some silence, and then I'll finish with a prayer. King Jesus, as we wait in the quiet now, please minister to us by your Holy Spirit. Jesus, our Emmanuel, remind us that you are always with us. Jesus, our reconciler, help us to be reconciled to God and to others. Jesus, our King, help us to put you first. Amen.